I would say, look, if you looked up the stats between Trevor Lawrence and Gardner Minshew over the last 3 years, Minshew's got better stats than Trevor Lawrence. Now, I'm not saying he's Trevor Lawrence, but he was 7-6 as a starter in Indianapolis last year, and that's with the running back that held out and wasn't ever really getting in shape last year, and Jonathan Taylor. He found a way to win 7 games. He's a baller. I think he's a little limited. Look, Aiden O'Connell made some mistakes in that last game. I think, you know, Antonio made the right choice. Personally, I would have found a way to trade in front of Denver and drafted Bo Nix myself.
Yeah,
Spadoni's raising it right in face, shaking his head.
Brock Bowers looks legit.
All right, but I mean, you're going to – so Mike Mayer and,
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
I mean, it's a little bizarre to draft two tight ends that high like that. How are you going to make that work?
I mean, they wanted Penix, though, right? Like, that was the guy. Like, no one saw Atlanta trading up that high to get Mike Mayer. Oh, well, yeah, you did. Sorry. You know what? You are right. Excuse me. I'll walk that back.
No, but I mean – I would have taken Penix.
If Atlanta could do a redo, would they allow the Raiders to sign Kirk Cousins and they sign Christian Watkins?
Ooh, that would be a different. I mean, they have pretty good depth of defensive tackle now, but Wilkins is pretty special player.
I'm just throwing it out. It just the Kirk Cousins thing. It feels like Penix is eventually going to play this year.
Mm-hmm. I think so, but look, I mean, did they waste $100 million on Kirk? I don't know. We'll find out and see how he plays. But he's there to at least win the division and get to the playoffs. That's what he's there for. And if that isn't going in that direction at some point, Michael Penix is going to get on the field.
Who's the team that we're not talking about that we should be?
I think Tampa's going to be good. I think Tampa's going to be really good.
Last week, yeah. Tampa.
Tampa's going to be real good. Who else? I think Chicago is going to be good. I don't know when they're going to catch fire, if they do, but if they catch fire like Green Bay did in the second half of the season, like they could unseat some teams. I think Seattle is going to be a lot better than what
Seattle
people think.
Seattle concerns me. That head coach, he impressed me with the way he ran the defense in Baltimore. Now? He impressed the hell out of me. We were talking about that during the break. Mm-hmm. McDonald up there in Seattle, he was at Michigan with Harbaugh, goes to Baltimore, runs that defense. We saw what they did on Christmas night, saw what they did all season long, and now he's in Seattle with those 12s, and he's got the book like, hey, Christmas Day, this is what I did to Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan. Going to be very interesting.
I would say Cincinnati. I mean, if Joe Burrow's in the lineup.
You love Burrow.
He's unreal. Like, it doesn't matter who he's throwing it to. Like, that guy, just watch that guy practice. He's just a surgeon. And then you talk to, if you talk to a Troy Aikman, you talk to anybody in this league that, played the position at a high level, they'll tell you, like, okay, there was Tom, for 20 years. It's Joe. Like, he's the everything from the technique to the fundamentals to how he goes through progressions. Like, he's better than everybody. Like, well, he's got an MVP coming one of these days.
Now, speaking of which, because you say he's better than everybody, when I talk about the guy in Kansas City who you covered in Big 12 country.
Well, he's like in a separate category.
Yeah, I know. Mahomes, hey, how did they? I watched him in the pre. And it's just preseason. But I see them get Xavier Worthy, and the minute they drafted Xavier Worthy, I said, damn, well, Andy Reid doesn't need that toy.
No, but like if you look at Andy Reid's history, and I've been around Andy since the day he got signed in Philadelphia, 1999. But in 2004, they got T.O. And literally the offense, he'd had pedestrian receivers before, and they were good. But as soon as he got T.O., it was bombs away. Like, you saw that play. Like, literally, it's 3rd and 10 last week. It's the opening drive of the game, and here's Xavier Worthy on the 7 cut. And there's Mahomes just, firing a bomb. And the guy is way more than just a fast receiver. Like, this guy can run legitimate routes. He's got excellent hands. And then, if you don't cloud him, and I don't know what Detroit's secondary was doing with him, but, Carson Wentz comes in the game. Throw it to an open patch of grass, let that kid go get it. Like, that offense is going to open up.
I mean, and then Hollywood Brown is going to come back at some point. All this speed. You got Travis Kelce. Rashee Rice looks like he's taking another level. Kansas City Chiefs, man. Like, I know we all hate them around here because they beat the Niners twice in the Super Bowl. But they're so damn fun to watch. I hate saying that. They're so fun to watch, Baldy. That's got to be a fun breakdown watching Mahomes. Like, I know Shasky hate watching Mahomes, but you break them down when you get the funny breakdowns.
How many guys would even attempt to throw the ball behind their back? Why would you even try that in a game? I talked to quarterbacks.
When I watch the quarterback doc on him, it's like he is wired for success. If he was a ping pong player, he'd be the best ping pong player. If it was baseball, basketball, he is maniacally obsessed with competing. And you talk about brilliant minds. He just sees everything before it happens.
I remember talking about that, Shasky, where the receiver doc, everybody's like going crazy over Kirk Cousins. Oh, what a great guy Kirk Cousins is. And I'm watching the receiver doc. I'm in Maui at the time. Yeah. And I'm thinking, I text these guys, said, Kirk Cousins, biggest takeaway is Mahomes is the dude.
Well, and his wife
and
is all
down on Mariota. But
I remember, like, you know, when he came to Texas Tech, talking to Cliff Kingsbury, like, he never recruited him during the season. He's coaching. But he went to see him play basketball. And he was from Tyler, Texas. So he goes to this basketball playoff game, and Mahomes is draining threes. And, you know, he's like, he's the guy. Like, it didn't matter what sport he was playing. You watch him play golf. You watch him compete in anything. Like, not just compete, but the preparation to compete is second to none. And like that has never changed.
When I watched like all of the different injuries with Jimmy Garoppolo, and everybody's different, and you know, just the way that they react on the sideline. And then I saw Mahomes with the high ankle sprain or whatever the ankle issue was specifically. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the injury was. And he's yelling at Andy Reid, like, yeah. No, I'm not coming out of this game. Like, maniacally obsessed. I'm thinking to myself, like, that's a guy you're going to war with. I mean, he has to literally be dragged off the field by the organization because he really thinks that he's going to help the team win, even at, you know, 40%.
Yeah, no, there's no. I mean, that is a real clip of him right there. Just like, he did not want to go in and get X-rayed. He did not want to know what was going on. Like, he wanted to, you know, and that whole build up to the Super Bowl, like, was all about the ankle.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt against the Eagles. And at halftime, Andy Reid went to Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. And was like, we're running the damn ball. Right. We're running the ball. We don't know what this guy's going to be able to, or not be able to do.
By the way, news with the Niners, right guard, Dominic Pooney, named the starting right guard for the San Francisco 49ers.
His performance last week cemented that. But the week before, he was good. He just honestly doesn't look like a rookie. Like, nothing about his movement, the way that he plays the game, looks like a rookie. Like, he just... It's amazing because I forget where he went before he went to Kansas, but like, Kansas doesn't turn out offensive linemen, yeah. You know. But this kid, like, he's got a base, he's got unbelievable power and strength. Like, I watched him flip a defensive lineman the other day, and I'm like, if McCaffrey's running behind us, man, he's walking in the end zone.
When you say Kansas football, I think of three players: Aqib Talib, I think of Dana Stubblefield, and Gilbert Brown.
Okay,
what about the Kansas Comet? Gail Sayers, baby.
Well, I'm talking about more recent.
I got to score the ball.
Gilbert Brown.
I thought you were going to say Akeem Adeniji. But yeah, no.
How did Gilbert Brown and Dana Stubblefield go to Kansas?
Yeah, like, I know.
Gilbert Brown was one of the largest human beings of all time.
The gravedigger. The original gravedigger.
And then, who's the head coach for a long time there? The big boy.
Yeah, the big heavy set guy.
I forget what it is. Yeah. They went to the Orange Bowl one year and took that classic
number
picture.
Number two, now, that was with... With the defensive back you just
Mark
said.
Mark Mangino.
Yeah, Mark Mangino. It was Aqib Talib.
Yeah, Khalid.
Aqib Talib was a bad man.
He was. He was a good player.
No, very good.
I think he's a great commentator.
Is he doing it?
I think
he was
good.
Doing it for Fox a couple years ago with Gus Johnson.
And then some stuff happened.
Oh, yeah. He's very raw, but Aqib, that's what he does, man. Yeah. I saw, how's it working with Steve Smith Sr., though? He's one of my favorite players.
Oh,
we're talking about Steve Smith, one of the toughest SOBs that we see it on the field, and he tells it like it is.
I love working with Steve because I never know what he's going to say. Never. What comes out of his mouth and is so unpredictable. He doesn't know a cliche. Like, he just... However his mind works, like, he's just an amazing guy, though, honestly, man. Like, you, first of all, the guy's got more businesses, like, between rental homes and fixing up apartments.
Smart,
like,
man.
He started this one software business. One of his sons is kind of running it for him. Like, he's just a very, he's from Compton, straight out of Compton, right? But, like, tough but smart, family guy. And when it comes to football, like, he just... Like, he says things that I would never think.
I love Steve Smith Sr.
Yeah.
Love him. It was a great pickup with him at NFL Network, and a hell of a player. Pound for pound, one of the best receivers out there.
If you talk to all the receivers out there of guys that deserve to get in the hall, everybody unanimously will say Steve.
Look at his quarterbacks. He was incredible with a variety of different guys.
Jake DeLome, yeah.
DeLome was sweet, though, for a couple of years.
Yeah,
I love
Jake
DeLome.
Was great, man. Yeah.
No, you know, the elbow
Bridge,
went out.
From straight out of Bow Bridge, Louisiana.
Yeah,
man.
No, he loved
he
that
was
accent.
A gunslinger.
Yeah.
I was rooting for them so hard in that Super Bowl.
Well, I know. That was one of those Super Bowls where it was like, is this game ever going to get going? And then the second half, like, it was just bang, 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 bang. It just took off.
Yeah, there was no points in the first quarter. It's kind of a dogfight. And next thing you know, Musa Muhammad's going deep.
Yeah.
You know, Deshaun Foster scored a touchdown, diving into the end zone.
I want to get to Andy Reid as we're waiting on Kittle to show up here. But Andy Reid, It feels like the rule changes have really benefited the offense over the last 15, 20 years. I mean, he's got three championships right now. Mm-hmm. He's been to four. Mm-hmm. And if he plays his cards right and things fall their way and maybe he gets another one, a couple more. I mean, when it's all said and done, how are we going to remember him? I Walsh is Walsh, and he had the 3-9 years, 10 years. Belichick went to, 8-16. He stands pretty high.
Couple Vince Lombardi rings as a D coordinator as well.
Well, he's done it. He's
couple
done
rings
it.
As D coordinator as well.
Yes, yes. But I don't think people necessarily give him. I agree with you, but nobody gives him that.
Well,
that
there's a couple things about Andy. First of all, he's done it in the NFC and the AFC.
Yeah,
all
that's right? a good
so
point.
100 wins in each division.
That's crazy.
That's that. You look at the tree of coaches that Andy Reid has put out. I mean, you're going back to like Marty Morningweg and Ron Dougie Rivera. P. You know, like Mooch. His tree, Mark. You know, like it's like somewhere around. Like 9 or 10 coaches now that he's got out there, in addition to coordinators and the whole thing, like his tree of coaches. But he learned that from Mike Holmgren, who learned it from Bill Walsh and how you develop the next guys. And so he's just been, like there's nobody else that can tinker the way Andy Reid can tinker.
He's done it with so many different quarterbacks and so many styles. I'm fascinated by him.
He had Jeff Garcia 1 year with McNabb.
They won a division.
They won a division when Garcia came out there.
I mean, Alex Smith's best years were with him, and I just thinking of like where Kyle's at and Andy Reid, and it feels like Kyle is going down that Andy Reid path where he's just been snake bitten in late in games in these big championship moments, and I still think he's a great coach. There's just a couple of little things he's got to iron out.
I mean, the difference is Mahomes. He's got Mahomes. Like, I mean, he had McNabb, he had all these guys, and they were all good. And they all had great seasons. And he had conference championships, and he got to a Super Bowl against New England. But the difference right now is just Mahomes. It's just fascinating. The respect that Pat has for Andy is exactly what you need. I'm not saying that other quarterbacks and coaches don't have it. But it's just this deep, deep-rooted respect for what he does and how he does it.
We were talking about one play we could take away as fans. I think a 3rd and 15 in Super Bowl 54 when Mahomes hits Tyreek Hill. Yep. Some people say the Roger Craig fumble around here. Mm. What's one play in your career that you wish went differently that could have maybe spurred you and your team to another level winning the Super Bowl? Because I know you were on that great – weren't you on an Eagles team that beat the Saints in a wild card game?
Yeah, we lost to Dallas the next week. Back then, Troy was just, they every third down, I didn't care if Seth Joyner was draped all over the tight end. The ball was just perfectly thrown. We were in it with Dallas for a half, and then their talent level just took over. You'd have I was playing left guard that day, and you start and there's Leon Lett right there in front of you, and then here comes Russell Maryland.
Wow.
That was they were too deep at every position.
Russell Maryland, that's a name. A monster.
That guy was 6 foot tall. He played he was as low as the curb. You couldn't get underneath him. He never stayed blocked. He was just a pain in the ass.
He was a Miami guy, right?
Yes. Yeah. So third overall pick.
So we're talking, it was on NBC yesterday, we're talking about all-time college teams, right? Mm-hmm. Who would have the best all-time team? Yeah. And USC came to mind, Michigan, Ohio State.
USC.
But Miami. And would you take all the talent that they've churned out over the last 30 years?
Well, you just saw Andre Johnson and Devin Hester go in. They were actually, Devin came when Andre just left. So, they were there for,
Reggie
one spring.
Reggie Wayne on that team with
Reggie
him.
Wayne. And then
Reggie Wayne!
I'm talking to the Edge. And, I think they have 13 guys in the hall right now. Sapp and, Ed Reed. And, just keep going on and on and on. Jim Kelly. It was just an amazing time.
They had Bernie Kosar, the late great Jerome Brown with Philadelphia. Yeah. They had nothing but studs.
The running back room at one point was Najee Davenport, Willis McGahee, Frank Gore, Clinton Portis. Yeah.
And I played with a guy that went there, Albert Bentley, who was an unbelievable player. He was from those, late 80s teams.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they started turning around.
Eddie Brown, wide receiver, long time with the Cincinnati Bengals. Of course, the playmaker. It's just so good. Edgerrin James, I think we were talking about him between the breaks, doesn't get the respect. He was a three-down back. Awesome. With common fans, these youngsters, I never hear Edge's name around here.
He was great Arizona.
First of all, he led the league in rushing as a rookie. His first 2 years, he led the league in rushing. he's 21 years old. And, that was Ricky Williams' draft in 1998. So, when people were like, well, how did he get drafted, you know, in front of Ricky? Well, like, he could catch the ball.
Yeah.
Like, he was an unbelievable receiver. And he was super smart, you know. And so he was just, and like, they had Marshall, and they draft Edger, you know, like.
I didn't know who Edge was, Shasky.
They had a game.
I never forget this because UCLA was great with Bob Toledo, Kate McNown, and they were rolling.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the running back.
So they had a game scheduled against Miami, but it got postponed due to a hurricane. So they played Miami early December, last game of the season. UCLA is like number one, number two team in the country. And this is where they had regional coverage, so I couldn't get the game. I'm watching some college game. I'm just like, I just want live updates. Right. So they would go live updates with the Miami-UCLA game, and Edge ran for like $2.99. Yeah. I was like, who the hell is that? Yeah. And this is where Miami was just starting to ascend under Butch Davis, and then as you know, he's in the Hall of Fame.
All right, rapid fire to the two of you. All right, these are things that me and my dad and my brother would do all the time.
Alan Schnellenberger started that program.
Yeah, he did, though. Yeah, much respect to him.
Rapid fire. 1 yard for your life. Who's the running back you're taking?
I'll take Eric Dickerson.
Okay, you.
Oh, man. That's
my
tough.
Dad took Derrick Henry.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.